I asked her why I still remembered words and locations on a map. I wondered, if my brain is so messed up, why can I still figure out the area of a square? How do I remember that I like Rocky Road ice cream? How I like the Victoria's Secret models? How I could almost taste a thick crust pizza with pepperoni and mushrooms? She carefully explained, with her eyes looking down her nose at me, that those things were stored in different parts of my brain, parts that were still functioning normally. In fact, she said, my brain was performing quite exceptionally, considering the trauma that my head had suffered. I'm tired of this hospital. I'm sick of the food. I don't like the pastel colors that everything is painted, mood-calming colors. It's always cold, and everybody that works here, from the doctors to the janitors, are emotionally cold and distant. Like they're waiting for me to die. Or leave. I want to leave. They want me to leave. Then she asks me how the classes are coming. Amnesia patients, like myself, have to go to all of these special classes that the hospital offers. I think it's an insurance setup, kind of like them hedging their bets if we go loopy. The classes are on different subjects that are supposed to drastically affect our new life scenarios. There's a class on coping, a class about nutrition, one about anger management, a boring set of videos on post-traumatic stress disorder, oh, and a long spiel about the dangers of prescription medicine abuse. That particular class is good if you're ever thinking about picking up an addiction, because they tell you everything you need to know to get your fix. I learned more about drugs in that class than most junkies learn in a lifetime. Anyway, it's all legislated living skills. All of those important things you need to know about life, broken down, subdivided, and agreed upon by a board of doctors somewhere in New England where they really know what it takes to have a productive life. I told the lady doctor that I liked the classes just fine, that I'd wholeheartedly recommend them to anyone in my position, that they were really helping me put this all into perspective. They like to hear things like that, one of the nurses, a young kid, whispered to me after one of the classes. I made it clear to the lady doctor that I would soon be ready to start my life anew, and maybe I was selling it too much, a bit overly optimistic, because there were some things I was leaving out. She nodded as she scribbled some notes down, asking me about my eating habits. I shrugged. I haven't been so hungry lately. Nothing has much taste. But that could be a commentary on hospital food. She laughed at that. After all of these questions, she looks at me like I'm an injured stray puppy, like I'm cute but too broken to take home. Her face is thin and symmetrical with a small, perfect nose. Is there anything else going on that you would like to talk about? She asks, carefully. And while I'm considering her question, she adds, anything strange? Anything at all? Did I tell her about the shadows? Did I tell her about the things I see just before I fall asleep and just as I wake up in those blue minutes near dusk and dawn? About the screaming that comes from that other place? Doctors, even fancy know-it-all neurospecialists, they don't understand things like that. Heck, I don't understand things like that. But I know that you get a padded cell and a Thorazine drip if you mention creatures crawling around in the darkness. People like me, who talk about the monsters, we end up as slobbering pharmaceutical test subjects. We become numbers. Lab rats. So, no. I didn't tell her about any of the things I see lately. And the whole time we're talking, I'm trying not to stare at the dark gray shadow behind the door that's looking at this lady doctor as if she might just be dinner.